All right, Happy New Year, San Diego. It's Vince Scuncio here on ESPN 1700, bringing in the greatest hits. My buddy Jeff in there in the booth, having a lot of fun with the music. I can see where it's going to be a good year all the way around. Today we got Brian Cochran on, a good buddy of mine and a frequent guest on Inside the Law here. Brian, I want to thank you for coming on the show today.
Always a pleasure to be here.
So Brian is you're a family law specialist, one of the few in San Diego, and we've talked about that quite a bit.
Yes, been a specialist for, I think, about 12 years now and practicing for 34.
Right, yeah. And so if you've been following the show for a while, Brian's been on the show a couple times, talked about the family law. But his practice also has a unique twist to it, which we're going to talk, I won't say unique twist, a unique aspect of it that most family law firms don't have at all, which is the estate planning aspect of it. And I really want to talk about that more today with you, because I think that's more of what your practice is evolving into with, you know, as the family law firm grows. Is that true?
Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to become more of a full-service law office for family law problems. One of the things that you see in family law is that, obviously, when you're dividing property, it's held in a community property or in separate property. Well, a lot of people have estate planning mm-hmm. issues. They either have wills or trusts, et cetera. Those either have to be undone or they should be redone, obviously, once a divorce has taken place. In addition, we always recommend to our clients after a divorce that they look at their estate planning situation because all of their legal relationships have changed. A lot of people don't realize that the California Probate Code basically says that if you're married to somebody, that by operation of law creates certain inheritance rights, mm-hmm. both in children and in spouses. And so when that is undone, so to speak, in a divorce, particularly as to the spouse, there has to be some action taken or should be taken to address those issues. Sometimes it's a matter of amending something, or sometimes it's a matter of starting a new estate plan.
Well, you know what's interesting is because I would never have thought, you know, I interview a lot of different types of law. You know, I've had estate planning attorneys on and family law attorneys, bankruptcy, you name it. And you're right. I mean, you know, like in real estate, if you're in a trust, you have to take the property out of a trust, do whatever you're going to do if you're going to refinance it or something along those lines. And then typically people forget to put it back in the trust is where you have problems where, you know, probate arises or something like that.
Right.
But it also makes sense in the family law aspect is, hey, these two people – you basically split the estate, right? So you take everything out,
right.
And then then what? I mean, it's left up to the consumer to say, "Oh, by the way, go do this."
Exactly, and that's why we try to cover that with our clients.
It's genius.
I'll give you. Well, you've got to try to be full service here,
right? Yeah.
but I'll give an example. This is about 30 years ago. I had a case where the parties had to a divorce had a number of pieces of property, but they had it held in a trust. And I went into court and I said to the commissioner at that time, I would like to have a restraining order restraining the trustees, who are the parties in this case, from, you know, transferring this property. And the judge looked at me and said, well, you know, I've got the parties right here and they wouldn't do that. Well, as soon as that happened, a week later, the husband, as the trustee, transferred all the property over to somebody else. And you know, was trying to the detriment of the wife. So we had to go back in and have a big trial on that issue. There have been some cleaning up statutes that help that, especially with the automatic family law restraining orders, which prohibit any party to a divorce from transferring, encumbering, hypothecating a property once a divorce is filed. But still, something has to be done, because if the trust, say the Scuncio Trust, owns the property, the parties don't actually own it.
Right.
So you have to undo that, and you have to get it taken care of through the community property or the separate property issues as to the divorce. And then after the fact, each of the parties have their own estate. Whatever is left over, they have. So obviously to my client, I suggest, okay, now let's rebuild something to take care of that into the future.
Right. Well, and I think a lot of, you know, the business you and I do together is when those people have a house, they got to sell it.
Right.
And typically, they're both going to go buy, well, not always, but a lot of times, they both spouses want to go out and buy a separate property after that. And you're right. So you create, through the divorce, you've split one estate into two estates, and I don't think that's really talked to people. You know, people don't really talk about, hey, when this is all said and done, you need to go reestablish your estate. You need to go redo your insurance. You probably need a new financial advisor, you know, like the whole big picture.
Right.
Of
And one of the things that people kind of get hung up on, because we keep using the word estate.
Right.
You know, we talk about real estate and we talk about these people's estates. All that word really means is what you own.
Right.
I mean, your estate can be your personal property. It could be your car. It could be your house. It could be any number of things. It's just a fancy word that we use for the things that you own. And in most cases, the largest part of the estate is a house.
Mm-hmm.
But now we see also that a huge portion of an estate could be a pension plan if they've been employed a long time. But there are also issues with that. For example, I had somebody question me about this the other day, that their only issue that they had was they had a pension. And what's going to happen? Should I put that in a trust? Well, actually, they don't need to, because in that estate planning, or in that that plan for the pension itself, it allows for a beneficiary. So rather than having an estate plan, they could just name a beneficiary under the plan, just like you would with a life insurance policy.
Okay.
And then that would be outside the estate anyways, and that saves taxes and a number of other things, and it decomplicates things a bit.
Yeah, but my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I probably am, if you have just a will, and let's say you have a pension, and the pension says here's the beneficiary of that pension, but you don't have an estate plan, then doesn't that open up you to probate?
Well, that's the point. A will is an estate plan. It's not necessarily the best estate plan.
Right.
Because a will, to kind of get down to the basics, a will is a document that says, upon my death, certain things are going to happen.
Right.
And in California, there are some limits on that with regard to amount of money. Some things can be done quickly. But for the most part, you're going to have somebody that you've named as an administrator or an executor or an executrix go into court, file a probate case. When that happens, there are notices that go out. There's a statutory period of waiting while creditors make claims, et cetera. That's where the real expense is in all this, because you can eat up a large proportion of an estate on attorney's fees and creditors and everything else, where if you do a living trust, you avoid all of that.
Right.
And I can explain the difference between those whenever you want to.
We got time.
We got
54 and a half minutes, depending on how long our breaks are.
Okay. So with a trust, it's kind of like forming your own little corporation.
Okay.
You become the Vince Scunzio Trust, okay?
Got it.
Vince Scunzio, the individual, puts all of his things, his estate, into the trust. So now he actually owns nothing by himself. When he dies, he dies without anything to own.
Okay.
So now the next person he's named, perhaps his fiance or whoever, maybe his loyal attorney, as the next trustee, comes along and says, okay, now I'm the head of this trust, just like a successor at a corporation. Now the trust says, as the successor, that I'm supposed to sell a house, divide it between children, do whatever the trust is. And that person takes those duties and does those things and can do them immediately. They don't have to wait for any statutory periods of time or anything like that. And distributes the estate based on what that trust says is supposed to happen. Eventually, once it's done, the trust will cease to exist. But that's done all informally, and it's just basically the successor trustee steps into your place and takes over. And it also has the advantage of you can put in there of what happens upon incapacity, because some people don't die, they become incapacitated first. And you could put in there, for example, that if two of your doctors say that you have lost your mental capacity, that your son or daughter, whoever, becomes a successor trustee and can take over and operate the trust and do all the banking, et cetera, at that time.
Okay. So that would be called a living trust?
It's usually called a living trust. Technically, it's called an inter vivos trust among the living, but it's called a living trust of most more normal people.
Well, yeah, we'll simplify it for me, because I'm not that bright today.
We'll just call it a living trust.
We'll call it a living trust for the sake of conversation. And so the, you know, kind of going back to the all this starts off with a divorce, right? I mean, obviously you can do or help someone with an estate plan, whether or not they're going through a divorce as families or whatever, like that. But if you've gone through a divorce, or you're, you know, contemplating divorce, and January is divorce month, between January and February, traditionally. So all you people that are listening, that you're like, well, should I? You're in good company this month, right?
It does heat up after the holidays.
It does heat up after the holidays, and after these holidays, I can absolutely understand why. no, I had a good holiday. So you've gone through that process. You decided, hey, we're going to file. Everyone's in agreement to that. You're going through that process. You've taken apart the trust, and it. It's not like that's a big event to dismantle the – I mean, I don't know if dismantling is the best word for it, but you're splitting the trust in the divorce. Is it kind of just
no.
happens, or is there like a bunch of, hey, we're doing this, and here's a
– It really can be very simple. Keep in mind that a trust is a document that you draft – for yourself. Right. I mean, your attorney may draft it, or for all I know, you may go online to try to do it that way, which is not the best way of doing it. But it's a document that stays within your own purview. It's not something that is out there for the public to know. And you can make amendments to a trust. Let's just say that in your original trust, you're going to leave $50,000 to your Aunt Susie. She passes away, so you decide, well, I'm going to leave that $50,000 to someone else. So you do an amendment, just the first amendment to the trust that says, now I'm going to leave this money to whoever. Well, the same thing happens with taking apart a trust. As long as it's revocable, you basically what we do is draft a document that says the such and such trust is hereby revoked. Now, what that means practically is the trustees then need to transfer the property back to themselves to make sure that it's covered that way. That's one of the problems, what we call funding a trust. People go out and they pay sometimes thousands of dollars for trusts, which really don't cost that much, to be honest with you. But they'll have a trust, they'll have a document, some attorneys handed them, it's a nice pretty box or whatever, and they think that's the end of it. Well, it's not the end of it, because even though you've got the trust, which is that small corporation, so to speak, that you've made, you have to put the stuff in it.
Right.
That's funding, and people forget that. For example, with a house in your business, you would do, you know, John Smith as an individual or as a married partner to John Smith, a trust, you know, whatever it is, whatever the trust is called. So you need to make sure everything gets over to the trust. Well, going back the other way, you have to do the same thing. John Smith, the trustee, now deeds back to John and Mary Smith as a married couple, etc. And so you have to do those legal steps. And I know talking about it like this, it kind of sounds like it's a lot. It's not really that difficult. It's just that you need to do it right.
Well, I think where I was getting at with that was that when I used to do mortgages, and so we'd always have that situation, not as often as you would think, because I'm a believer, if you have a home, you have kids, you need to have a trust. I mean, my best thing is, like, if you drive a van, you need a plan. I mean, it's
right.
If you're driving a minivan, you need to have a estate plan, plain and simple. But when we're helping people with refinancing their homes or whatever, you would take it out of trust, you do the refinance, and then tell them, hey, you need to put this back in your plan. And then 4 or 5 years later, rates got better, whatever, we're refinancing again. How come you never put this back in the trust? Oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
Well, a refinance is, they're probably more difficult nowadays than they used to be. But going through a divorce, your head's not in the right place anyways.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and so that's why I like when we talked before as far as you having, not just all full service firm, but really telling people, hey, you've gone through this event, you're going to split the estate, we're going to be here to remind you that when the dust settles.
Yeah.
You know.
When I sit down with a client for the first interview, I obviously don't know exactly why they're coming in to see me. It could be a custody issue, it could be a divorce, it could be any number of things, domestic violence. But when they come in, I go through an interview process when it becomes clear it's a divorce, and I ask them about property issues that they probably didn't even think about having owned. I ask them about everything from, you know, their cars and the usual things like that, and pensions to stock options, you know, various things that people can own, because sometimes they don't think of that as being, you know, part of their estate. And so we go through all of that, and we do find out how it's characterized. It matters in California. For example, if a house is in joint tenancy in California, it's presumed to be community property. It may not really be community property, but that's a presumption. So we need to deal with those issues. And if it's in a trust, we need to deal with the issue of characterization also. It's very important not to mess up the details. The details are very, very important in legal lawsuits.
Yeah, well, I agree. Well, you know, we got some good stuff when we come back from the break. So stay tuned for more Inside the Law with Vince Scuncia, the attorney's realtor, right here on ESPN 1700. Be right back. And sweaty palms from
hang. Love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This, I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other.
All right, welcome back to Inside Law with Vince Scuncio, the attorney's realtor. I'm here with my buddy Brian Cochran, attorney at law, pretty much the family law specialist, one of the best family law specialists in San Diego County, and also a full-service owner of a full-service law firm. You guys handle pretty much all aspects of anything that has to do with family, right?
Yeah, I mean, any issue that comes up, I tend not to do juvenile law anymore. I've done that in the past. I tend to farm that out to other people because
right.
It's an entirely different court system. But when it comes to anything to do with the family, the estate planning, divorce, custody,